In Washington, D.C., gun control supporters in Congress hope to reinstate a ban on assault weapons, limit magazines to 10 rounds, and expand background checks for gun sales. But even if those steps go forward, they wouldn't impact the gun-related violence concentrated in the poor parts of cities like Providence. In the inner city, illegally obtained handguns are the weapons of choice.
You can get a gun and a pretty inexpensive gun. $100, $200, and you can get one pretty easily.
That's Providence Public Safety Commissioner Stephen Parry as he drives around some of the dangerous parts of the city in an unmarked car.
There's an abundant amount of guns on the street, and so it pushes the price down. It's all supply and demand.
Reports of shots fired take place almost daily in Providence. Guns bought on the street wind up being used in other crimes, like a drive-by shooting that killed a bystander last year on Vesey Street in the Wanscuck section.
He died right there on the street. It was over a beef. A silly, insignificant conflict.
Some of the guns used in these types of crimes are stolen during house breaks. Many more are bought in bulk legally in other states and then illegally resold in Providence. Parry says the supply of illegal guns is so great that police can't control it.
We have to attack it by the manufacture and the restriction of guns. That's how we have to attack this. We can't police our way out of this either.
And Parry says Rhode Island's state laws aren't strong enough to deter people from carrying illegal guns.
There's a culture that, look, I can get away with it. Even if I get jammed up with a gun, I'm not going to face serious consequences.
The Rhode Island lobbyist for the National Rifle Association, Darren Goins, says the problem isn't that the state lacks strong enough laws.
The problem in this country isn't the firearm. It's a socioeconomic problem. And until we address that and we address some of the issues surrounding mental health, we're really not getting at the crux of the problem.
Concerns about how the shootings in Newtown could shape legislation in Rhode Island prompted Goins to make several trips to the State House early in the legislative session.
Just doing something for the sake of doing something isn't going to address the problem. I'm confident in Rhode Island that once we have this discussion and folks are able to realize that we already have laws on the books that prevent this stuff, it's just a matter of enforcing those laws, that there really won't be an urge to pass much more legislation.
In the past, Goins and the NRA haven't had to worry too much about stronger gun laws in Rhode Island because the General Assembly has lacked an appetite to make changes. It's something Providence's Public Safety Commissioner, Stephen Parry, knows well. When he was head of the state police, law enforcement was unable to convince the assembly to give police chiefs discretion in issuing gun permits. Parry also points to failed attempts to close a loophole allowing juveniles to possess a gun without a permit.
We haven't been able to get any traction on that for 5 or 6 years, and that's been introduced every year.
Parry and other critics blame the gun lobby for blocking attempts to strengthen Rhode Island's gun laws. In fact, an NRA political action committee has contributed more than $120,000 to Rhode Island lawmakers since 2002, according to a review of campaign finance records by Rhode Island Public Radio. Lobbyist Darren Goins downplays the local influence of financial contributions by the 4 million member NRA.
I don't think it has any bearing on what laws the state has, good or bad, simply being we support candidates who support our issue. It's direct democracy in action. It's our members saying if a candidate is going to go to Providence and vote for our ideals, we're going to support that person's candidacy.
Have all members indicated their presence by pressing the green button?
House Speaker Gordon Fox is among the largest recipients of contributions from the NRA PAC. He's received almost $4,000 since 2002. Yet Fox says he doesn't see the influence of the gun lobby. He says he hasn't been personally lobbied by the NRA and doesn't think the financial contributions have influence at the legislature.
I don't think it plays a huge role. I think this is one that you have some people that truly believe in the Second Amendment and take a literal definition of that, and they just believe it. And they have members here in Little Rhodey that believe that.
In the aftermath of Newtown, legislative leaders have been meeting with other state officials, the state police, and the State Police Chiefs Association. They're discussing Rhode Island's gun laws and mental health procedures. The goal is to introduce legislation in the coming weeks for consideration this session. It includes increased background checks, stronger sentences for some gun-related crimes, and bans of certain weapons and high-capacity magazines. Also on the table is how Rhode Island can report individuals considered a danger to themselves or others into a national gun-related database. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.